Good morning, church. Hey, we're continuing our series entitled Spiritual DNA, the Building Blocks to a Better Life. And this morning we're going to be talking about the second building block, which is connecting to God's people. And as we talk about this, I'm reminded that last week we talked about the first first building block, and that's the idea of worshiping God's Son, to see that as the entry point to a better life, to say yes to Jesus. But saying yes to following Jesus means you got to hang out with His disciples. And so it's hard to follow Jesus without being one of His disciples, and that means we got to hang out with each other. And so that's what we're going to talk about today, the answering first of all the call to Jesus, but then recognizing that that call means that we are called to be part of God's family. Now, the video we just watched of Josh and Libby Hockaday is a perfect illustration of what happens when you open yourself up to being part of God's family. That you never know. I don't know how long you could live. I don't know how big your savings account is. But if you lost your job today, how many weeks would it be before you were homeless? How many weeks before you'd have to find some other place to live and some other place to find food to eat and so on and so forth? Well, that's what happened to them this past spring, is they lost their job unexpectedly, and then all of a sudden, one thing leads to another. And because they were actively involved in a church family, because they were part of a church, by the way, the church is not the building. That's easy for us, because you look around here, you go, this does not look like a church. And so you're right, there is no church place, there is a church people. The Bible speaks of the people of God as being the church. And that when you're part of a family like that, and a family that loves God, and shares their gifts, then you have an opportunity when things like this come along to trust God and to be part of a community like this. So here's what happens with Josh and Libby. He loses his job, and then they need help. So the benevolence fund at the church helps them with some of their bills. And then it just keeps looking worse and worse. So then a family in the church, I'm not talking about the institutional church, I'm talking about one of you said, why don't you come live with us? We've got room at our house. Come live with us. And then it goes on. Well, how are we going to move? Well, the community group says, we'll help you move. So one of the friends that was just tagging along, one of the friends of the community group goes, is talking to Josh and says, who are these people? You know, I tried to get my brother-in-law to help me move, and he was busy. I mean, how do you get 15 people to show up to help you? And he says, it's just a church. It's part of my church. And then a member of the church, of his community group, helped him get a job. And so, long story short, God wins. Why? Because we recognize the power of community, the power of being part of God's people, that Jesus calls us first to Himself, and then He calls us to a family, so that we can call God Father, and we call one another what? Brother and sister. And we're family. And this illustrates the power of answering the call to come follow me. Jesus says, come follow me. I don't think Peter turned to Jesus and said, I'm good with following you, but what about that guy Judas Iscariot? Do I have to hang out with him? No, you had to hang out with that guy. And you had to hang out with those other guys. And I'm sure some of them are like, Peter's a big mouth, but I guess if I follow Jesus, I got to hang out with Peter. That's what it's like to follow Jesus. We have to learn to love each other and to be recognizing that we need each other. Now, speaking of this, why do we need to be connected to other people? Let me just lay a foundation before we begin the message today. Why do we need to be connected to other people? Well, number one, it's because God made us that way. God built us for a relational capacity to be in relationship, first of all, with Him and then with one another. In Genesis 2:18, it says, the Lord God said, it is not good for the man to be alone. I must make a helpmate for him. And so God recognized that He built into us relational need. Dr. Shelley Taylor says, friendships play a far more important role in maintaining good health and having a long life than most people realize. Societal ties are the cheapest medicine that we've got. And then she begins to describe the physical medical benefits of being in relationship in community. People with strong societal networks are shown to boost their chances of surviving life-threatening illnesses. They have stronger, more resilient immune systems. They have improved mental health. They live longer. And so those are just a few of the benefits of being in a family, being part of God's family. Here's a second reason. Number one, God made us that way. But number two, because we can't grow spiritually without being connected to the body. If you want to grow up spiritually, if you want to grow in the Lord, you need each other. The scripture says in Colossians, he's lost his connection with the head, from whom the whole body, supported and held together by its ligaments and sinews, grows as God causes it to grow. Now, actually, this verse is from the negative, saying here's someone that's not growing because they're not connected. But if you look at it in the positive, if they would get connected, they would grow. They need to be connected to the body. And so Dr. Ronald Glaser says one of the worst things you can do to someone is isolate them. And that, I think in prisons they call it isolation. They put that, that's something you do to punish someone. And so many of you are coming here this morning, and you would say, if you were honest, you would say, I'm lonely. I'm not just looking for a friendly church. I'm looking for some friends. I mean, it's one thing. I know you've got greeters at the front door that say good morning, and we're happy to do that. And good morning, by the way, from me to you. But you need more than that. You know, you need someone that would invite you over later. Or how about come to the picnic today? We got a picnic today. You ought to come to that. That's what we need. We need somebody that would really have us over, someone that would love us. And that's what we're talking about today in the book of Romans. We're going to be looking at two verses in the book of Romans today where the Apostle Paul told the church at Rome, he said, look, here's what it should look like. Now that you're following Christ, you need to come together and recognize that you are one body. You are the body of Christ. And as we look at that today, I just want to give us three steps today on how to be connected to God's people. Three steps on getting connected to God's people, recognizing that we are the body of Christ. So let's look at the text today, Romans chapter 12, verses 4 and 5. For as in one body, we have many members, and the members do not all have the same function. So we, though many, are one body in Christ, and individually members one of another. This is God's word. Amen? Amen? We're going to be looking at three steps on how to get connected to God's people. Here's the first step. Choose to answer Christ's call to belong. Choose to answer Christ's call to belong. Notice in verse 5, he says that we're one body, that we are members one of another. As you look at this in some other translations, for instance, the New Living Translation, same verse, it says, and since we're all one body in Christ, we belong to each other. Now look around you. Just look at all the people that belong to you. And turn to the person next to you and say, you belong to me. He said that. He said, you belong to me. Yeah. In God's Word translation, it says, Christ makes us one body and individuals who are connected to each other. We're connected through the Spirit of Christ. Because of the Holy Spirit, He is building His church, which are the people of God. Ephesians 2:19 says, you belong in God's household with every other Christian. This is a place where you belong. You belong here. Now this, our church was portable for 19 years. The church will be 24 years in January, 24 years old in January. But it started in my living room with seven people. You know the story, right? Started in my living room. Two of the seven people were me and my wife, Robin. So really, we had a big Sunday. We attracted five people. It was exciting. And that's how the church started. It started in a house. It started by a house that was open and said, let's talk about Jesus and God's Word and what it would be looking like to be the community like that. And for 19 years, we rented space all over Wilson. And so we were portable. We were the roadie church. And so we were the church on the move, so we bought a movie theater, right? You know, we bought an old sixplex movie theater that had been sitting empty for 4 years. But this is not the church. It's easy for us as a people here to recognize that the church is the people. It's not the steeple, it's the people. We are the church. And we belong to each other. And so this is what we're talking about today. In his landmark book, Bowling Alone, Robert Putnam makes the case that loneliness is America's new epidemic. People are searching for a place to belong. In the 1970s, it wasn't uncommon for someone to leave a job that paid well and go off into the woods in order to find himself. The issue of the existential 60s and 70s was one of identity. Who am I and why am I here? The issue of the 21st century, however, appears to be where do I belong? Belonging is a God-given human need. We all need and want the security of belonging to a family, belonging to a group, belonging to a team, belonging with people who need us just like we need them in a healthy and productive way. The fragmentation of the family and the rapid growth in technology have made people more mobile and isolated than ever before. The aching need to belong is at an all-time high. And so the baby boomers, whose parents came back from fighting World War II, they provided these wonderful families, and what they wanted to know is, who am I? They had this existential need for identity. But then as they grew up, their families fragmented as they were searching for self. And then the children of them, many of you are sitting here right now, you're the children of the boomers. I'm a boomer. I'm getting old now. The boomers are aging out. But many of you are from the children of the boomers. And you don't have that sense. You have a sense of, I need to know who I belong to. I need to know who my family is. And there's a great sense of loneliness in today's generation as a result of the fragmentation of the family. May I say to you this morning, this is God's house. This is God's family. You belong here. You're welcome. You're welcome here. You belong here. Now, warning, fine print, it's a mess. It is. It's a mess here because we're here. We live here. This building is open 7 days a week. We invite, because we never had a building before, we got crazy when we got one and said, we were homeless so long that we remember what it felt like to be turned away when we wanted to rent a place or borrow a place. And they would say, well let's talk to the board. Well, I'm sorry, the liability's too high because we heard about you people. But anyway, we just let people use our building. And so I come in here all the time. I don't even know who's in here. I come in here. And so we're having some trouble. But by the way, sidebar, who's using all the toilet paper in the building? That's what I'd like to know. We are going through a lot of toilet paper, and we're putting up cameras soon to figure out who's using. No, not going to do that. But anyway, it's messy. It's messy belonging to a family. But there's no better way to live. Because why? Because God made us this way. Will you answer the call to belong? Stop being lonely. Come out from your isolation and be members of God's family. Tim Chester wrote a book entitled A Meal with Jesus, Discovering Grace, Community, and Mission Around the Table. And he talks about how in the book of Luke that it seemed that Christ's mission when he came to the earth was to eat and drink with as many people as he possibly could, because throughout the book of Luke, he's going from one meal to the next. And when he talks about the kingdom, he talks about a banquet. Like he can't stop talking about the table. And then finally, on his last night before he's betrayed and before he's crucified, he brings his disciples to the table and he breaks bread and he says, "This is my body which is broken for you, and this is my blood which was spilt for you, and I want you to come to the table." So he says, come and commune with us. And so he talks about this. Tim Chester talks about this Jesus and how his strategy was really to come and be with us. And in the book of Revelation 3:20, Jesus invites, he says, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone opens the door, I will come in and will," this is King James, but that's the way I memorized it, "I will sup with him and he with me." In other words, I'm going to come in and have supper with you. I'm not just going to knock at the door and sit in the fancy living room, but I'm going to come in and sit in the breakfast nook and I'm going to have supper with you. I'm going to come in the back door and walk in through the laundry room. I'm going to come in through the front door and sit in the room like my grandma used to have, where she had plastic on all the furniture. Did your grandma have that? She didn't want it to get messed up. It was her fancy room. She only took the plastic off when the preacher came over. But to nobody else, right? But no, Jesus wants to come in. He wants to be backdoor company and sup with you. And are you opening your home? In his book, Tim Chester says that there's been a 33% decrease in families eating together in their homes. 33% decrease. He says there's a 45% decline in entertaining friends. People just don't ask other people over anymore. They just isolate. They don't eat together. A couple applications to think about. One is, how do you become part of this family? I want to answer the call to belong. It begins with answering the call that Jesus says, "Come to me." So it's not come to a religion. It's not come to a church. It's come to a relationship with Jesus Christ. Have you done that? Have you received Jesus as Savior and Lord? That's step one. That's the first move, first application. Then have you made it public? Have you said, I publicly want to identify myself. I'm no longer a secret agent Christian. I have now decided I want to publicly say I am a follower of Jesus. And that's what baptism does. Have you been baptized? That's like putting the wedding ring on. That's like having a wedding ceremony. You know, I've already said, you know, to Jesus, I've already said, "Will you be my Savior?" And he has said yes, but we haven't made it public yet. And so we need to have a baptism service where I say, "I identify with the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus, and here I am. I'm identifying with Jesus. And so that's like putting the wedding ring on. Have you done that? Maybe you've said you're saved, you believe in Jesus, but you haven't made it public yet. And so you need to sign up for our next baptism. Maybe you need to join a church. We're available. Check the box on the connection card that says, I'd like to know more about becoming a church member. It's called our class is called Connect 101. So sign up for that. And be part of a family. Stop isolating yourself and come down from the hills. Come from your quiet places and join us. Here's number two, the second step. We've talked about connecting to God's people means answering the call to belong. Number two, it means learning to share Christ's gifts with his people. So I say I belong, and now I say, and so do all my belongings. I belong, and so does all my stuff, and all that I am, and all that I have. It's yours, and you are mine. And so we share together. Look at verse 4 in the book of Romans chapter 12. For as in one body we have many members, and the members do not all have the same function. We all have different functions in the body. So this is one body. I have a right hand and a left hand. The right hand is my favorite hand. I'm right-handed, and so it has a certain function. My left hand is a helper. He helps my right hand. If my right hand gets hurt, I guess he has to figure out what to do. But I mean, you know, he really needs the right hand and so forth. And I have ears, and I have one mouth, and I'm supposed to use it less because God gave me two ears, right? God taught us that with our biology. Listen more, talk less. But just look at your body, look at my body. I need all these parts. Please don't take any of these parts. I need them like that. And if you're wondering in our church, if you ever say this, like maybe you're thinking like this, you know, I like that church and I'm thinking about joining, but they don't have this. If only they had this, if they did more of that, if they just did, then maybe the reason we don't is because you have not said yes to belonging and sharing your stuff yet, because that's your passion. And the reason we don't, the reason we're missing a foot, it's because you're the foot. The reason we're not doing everything God called this church to do in this community is because you are not fulfilling your responsibility to the body. You're sitting on your stuff. You're hoarding it. You're keeping it to yourself. We need you, and you need us. And so we share. So the body needs these different functions, these unique functions. In the book of Acts, chapter 2, verse 44, it says, all the believers met together constantly and shared everything they had. In other words, they met together all the time and shared all their stuff. They lived like a family. They took care of each other. Can I give you just a few ways that they shared? This is not comprehensive, it's not all, but it's a few of the ways that the first century church shared that is an example for us. We can share our spiritual gifts. Our spiritual gifts. 1 Corinthians says, since you are eager to have spiritual gifts, try to excel in gifts that build up the church. Spiritual gifts. I'm thankful that we right now have serving in the nursery, people who have the gift of service. Aren't you glad? Moms and dads, aren't you glad that we have people working in the nursery right now? We're paying them the same thing this week that we paid them last week, by the way. We're paying them with our love and with your encouragement as you go and pick your child up and you thank them. But mostly they're not really even doing it for your thanks or my thanks. They're doing it for Jesus because they are members of the body who have the gift of service and they're saying yes. We have people practicing the gift of teaching right now, teaching our children. Down the hall, we have our Spanish-speaking service going on right now. And we have Pastor Miguel right now sharing his gift of preaching. And he's under me, and so I'm training him how to preach, and I'm sharing my gift of training up younger preachers, which is my passion. I love to do that. In fact, God's given me the opportunity to travel to Africa and to Guatemala and even as far as different parts of the state, like, I don't know, somewhere in this area that God's let me. I'm getting old now. I get to share my passion, which is preaching and teaching and leading churches. What are you doing? I'm not bragging. I'm just saying, what are you doing? Are you just hanging out? Or do you really belong in this place? And if you really belong, God's got a purpose for you. Bring your spiritual gifts. What are your spiritual gifts? I don't know what my spiritual gift is. Well, listen, if God gave me a gift, I'd get under the tree and dig it out and open it up. Find out what it is and then start using it for God's kingdom. We need you to use your gifts, spiritual gifts. Here's the second one, experiences. Share your experiences. Proverbs says people learn from one another just as iron sharpens iron. Experiences. That seems strange. But, you know, sometimes your worst experiences that God has brought you through are your best experiences later on. You know, remember Romans 8:28? That it says, God causes things to work together for good according to his purpose, to those who love him or are called according to his purpose. God, he wants to take the stuff in your past that was a mess, and if you'll give it to him, he wants to turn it to good. And so, like, I don't know what's happened in your life. Maybe you had an addiction in your life, and God's brought you through it, and now God wants you to use that so that you help others that are still struggling so that you can talk about how God brought you through. Maybe you had a loss in your family. I had a loss in my family when I was 8 years old. My father passed away. I'm the oldest of four children. And I know what it feels like to be an 8-year-old boy who lost his 39-year-old father to cancer. And I know what it feels like to be part of a survivor family like that. And so to this day, God has healed me. I'm whole today. I'm not broken by that anymore. I was, but I am no longer, because I have a Father in heaven because of Jesus. But now if I see a little boy or a little girl who lost their mom or dad, guess what happens to my heart? It goes right to them. I don't have to train it to do that. It just goes, I know how you feel. Can we hang out? Can I talk to you about how I lost my dad and what God has done for me? And I don't know what's happened to you, you have experiences that God wants you to be healed of, that he wants to bring you through, that he wants to tell you how to get through it. And he doesn't want you to bury those experiences, but he wants you to allow them to be redeemed and then to offer them as a sacrifice back to him and to his people to help others who are hurting in the same place you are. Like that. Tomorrow, my family is going with Stephen and Caroline, my son Stephen and Caroline. We're going to Duke tomorrow, and it's going to be bittersweet. It's going to be really sweet, but a little bit bittersweet because so much help came in after our grandson Connor passed away some years ago, 3 years ago now, I think that's right. He passed away, and so much help came in that we started a foundation to help other mommies who had struggled the same way Caroline did, and Connor only lived 14 hours as a result. And so we had money left over at the end after the foundation. We decided to give that to Duke Hospital. And so they gave it to Duke Hospital to set up a room where families that were going through the same kind of hurts that our family went through would have a room that they could come together and have a family time. And have that. Anyway, tomorrow we're going to go dedicate that room. And that wouldn't happen if Caroline and Stephen hadn't been willing to share their experience of losing a baby and then actually taking what God gave them and saying, okay, we've covered our medical expenses. What do we do with the rest? I think we should give back. And so now there's a room. Tomorrow we'll go, and it says the Connor Wayne Combs room or whatever on the door. I haven't seen it yet, so I'm not sure, but that's tomorrow. Will y'all pray for us, you know, about that? And so are you sharing your experiences? What you've been through with other people so that you can help them? Here's the third one. Now, this one's going to scare you worse than anything so far. Homes. You have to share your homes. I know this is terrifying. First Peter, open your homes to each other. Yikes. Some of you have never had your mother over yet. It's like, I don't want my mom to see my house. I haven't made my bed this year. Just move stuff around. Acts 5:42 says, day after day in the temple courts and from house to house, they never stopped teaching and proclaiming the good news that Jesus is the Messiah. The first century church had a rhythm. They met in each other's homes, and they met in the temple. And so they met in large numbers, and then they met in small numbers. And this is how it blossomed out of Jerusalem and exploded onto the face of planet Earth, and it spread like wildfire. And it was this practice, this rhythm of house to house and in the temple courts. And so in this public place, they gathered like we are this morning for worship and hearing the word of God so that we are encouraged. And then we go to homes to work it out and work it out in community. And that's I can't think of a better way to do church. Let's do church that way. But it involves you being able to say, mi casa, su casa. My house is your house. Now, I don't know if you're ready to do like a family in our church did and said to the Hockadays, you know what, you guys are looking like you're going to be homeless. Why don't you come live with us?
And I don't know if you're ready for that, because some of you are sitting there going, now that's radical Christianity. I'm not sure I signed up. That's like, I'm thinking that is like that's fanatical Christianity, okay? And like, there's got to be another category for that kind of Christianity. I'm more of your just like normal Christianity. Well, we need to crucify that normal Christianity. It needs to die, because that's what's wrong with America today, is this watered-down version of churchianity, which is not Christianity at all. Because the first century church shared everything, and they opened up their homes to each other. So clean your house up and invite some people over. Come on. God give you a house? It's not yours. It's His. It's His house. Invite some family over. Have some people over. Do it. Start. One author I was reading was talking about how when he was growing up, he would always ask his mom and dad as they left church, who we having over to the house today? Because his mom and dad always had people over to the house like that. Is that a practice at your house, that you're always opening the door to others? Is your home available? Here's the fourth category, the fourth area that we can share: possessions. Share your stuff. Acts 2:45 says, and they were selling their possessions and belongings and distributing the proceeds to all as any had need. Share your stuff, your cars, your house, your stuff. You've ever heard it said you can't take it with you? Yeah, well, that's true. You never see a U-Haul being pulled by a hearse, do you? I mean, you just never do. You know, that never happens. But it's not really true. Bear with me. Can I tell you a strategy on how you can take it with you? Here's how you do it. You send it on ahead. Everything you keep, you lose. Everything you give away, you invest in the kingdom. Everything you keep, you lose. Everything you give away, you invest in the kingdom. So everything you're storing up and in that garage, I have a garage. I have a two-car garage with no cars in it. Yet it is full. Much of it I do not take the blame for. And I try to bring it up in preaching sermon illustrations. I try everything I can do to get my kids to get their stuff out of my garage. To be fair, I do have a lot of junk in there myself. But there's stuff in there. I wish some of you should come over. I'm ready to give some things away. I have a dryer that's been there. It was supposed to only be there for a week. It's been there over a year now. Do you need a dryer? I have one. Just saying. We have these two-car garages, but no cars in them. There's no room for my cars in my garage. So I'm preaching to myself and to you. Give away some stuff. Go look in those closets. Thin things out. Give away some stuff. And then share your problems. This one seems odd, doesn't it? Share your problems. It says in the scripture, share each other's troubles and problems. Really? Now, some of you are going to community groups right now. We call our home groups, our home meetings, we call them community groups. And many of you are in those groups. And every time it comes for prayer time, they ask this disturbing question. They say, does anyone here have a prayer request? And every time it comes to you, you say, I'm good. I'm good. Because really, you don't want them to know that you're not good. And you're afraid that you'll lose it a little bit. And, you know, I'm trying to keep it together here. I don't really know these people that well. There's those couple people that every week got to cry about something, but not me. I'm keeping it together up in here. And that's not what the Bible says. The Bible says to share your problems, to be real, to be authentic, to be family, to bring it to the table and say, you're not saying to them, you do it. You're saying, pray for me. Let's bear each other's burdens together, and let's leave them at the cross of Jesus like that. Start being real. Start sharing your trouble with one another. How do we apply this? Have I talked about community groups yet? Are you in one? Why not? Come on. Come on. That's where real church happens. Acts 2:42 talks about what the first century church looked like. They were devoted to the apostles' teaching, to the fellowship, to the breaking of bread, and to prayer. That's what our groups do week after week. They do those four devotions, those four things. Here's a good first step today, though. If you're not quite ready for community group, which I think you are, you just need to sign up and go. But if you'd like to get a look at a crazy, chaotic enlargement of community, come to the picnic today. There's going to be food and fellowship and chaos. You'll love it. Somebody said, but my child takes a nap at that time of day. Bring a blanket. There will be children sleeping on blankets. Trust me. There will be parents and community groups that form circles around blankets. And there's a place, there's every kind of fun that you can imagine will happen at this picnic today. Why don't you come? Please come. Be part of the family. We're having a family picnic. It's a big one. You ought to come. Bring some stuff. We'll share it. I think we have paper goods. Did I tell you we're having trouble with paper goods here in the church? We have so many people in the building. It's not just the toilet paper, it's the paper goods. Where's the paper goods going? Did some of you guys borrow, is that a hand back there admitting that you took paper goods from the church? Anyway, that's what it's like when you have a house that you open up to the whole family. Like if you're the house that your community group meets at your house, after everybody leaves, you're just crying. You're so full of the Holy Spirit and it was great. And then you look around and one of your kids comes up to you and says, Daddy, what? Somebody took my Legos. That happened at my house. And I was like, I didn't check anybody's pockets before they left, son. I don't know who took your Legos. Well, such and such was in my room and took some Legos. And I said, well, glory to God, he must have needed them. You know? I mean, you just never know. Church people are just people who are sinners saved by Jesus. And sometimes they might take your Legos. They break stuff. But listen, there's another way to live, and it's better. And it's living with God's people. Come to the picnic. Come to the house. Come to Jesus and belong to the family and share your stuff. And then finally, commit to love Christ's family as your own. Verse 5 again says, we are members one of another. He goes on in verse 10 of chapter 12 in Romans. He says, be devoted to each other like a loving family. Ephesians, again, says you're members of God's family. 1 John, he says, whoever says I love God but hates another believer is a liar. People who don't love other believers whom they have seen can't love God whom they have not seen. Christ has given us this commandment. The person who loves God must love other believers. Now, it's official now. You're commanded to love me, so start. And I'm commanded to love you too. So let's get some love in here. Right? Let's start loving one another. It's the commandment. And what kind of love are we talking about here? Well, it's that memory verse, John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave. It's giving love. It's sacrificial love. It's the kind of love that gives like that. Is that your kind of love? Now, can I give you some examples of how you could work this out relationally? I'm going to talk about three relationships really quickly in an application of how you could apply this. You need three kind of relationships. You need a Paul, a Barnabas, and a Timothy relationship. Okay? Ladies, you need a Pauline, a Barbara, and a Tammy. Okay? Let me describe. Paul was Timothy's mentor. He was older than Timothy. He was ahead of him spiritually. He poured into Timothy. Do you have a Paul in your life? Someone that's a few steps ahead of you. They're probably a little older than you biologically and certainly spiritually. Do you have someone that you're receiving mentorship from, that you get your answers from in God's family? Then do you have a Barnabas? A Barnabas, the name Barnabas in the Hebrew actually means son of encouragement. Do you have a running mate, a peer that's about the same age as you are spiritually, and you're kind of running through life together, and you're kind of poking each other, and come on, let's do this. Iron sharpens iron, come on, and you're encouraging each other. Do you have a running mate? And then do you have a Timothy, someone that's younger than you in the Lord, that you are mentoring? And by the way, of these three, which one do you think you'll learn the most from? Your Timothy relationship. Do you know why? They will ask you stuff that you don't know the answer to. And because you care about them so much, you're taking it so seriously that they look up to you, you'll call your Paul and go, my Timothy just asked me this, and what is the answer? And then your Paul tells you, and then you tell them, and you've learned it twice now. And so you need these three relationships, these three loving relationships in the church. And this is discipleship. This is how the church will grow if we begin to live it out this way. And you can find these kind of relationships here. You can find them here because you belong here. Bring your gifts. Bring your stuff to God's house. We're a family. He's the Father. We're His body. This is a commitment to follow Jesus. Number one, we talked about this last week, to celebrate God's Son, to worship God's Son, to see Him as Savior. And when we rally around that, when we receive Him as Savior, we say, yes, Jesus, You're my Lord and Savior. I believe in You. And He saves us. He makes us born again. He fills us with His Holy Spirit so that then that Holy Spirit makes us one body. He's the head. We're the body. And now that we're one body, we are connected to each other, and we are the hands and feet of Christ in this world. The church, I'm talking about the people of God, is the most powerful entity on this planet. It is Christ's work in the world that's bringing forth His kingdom. Get in here. You belong. Bring your stuff. Love one another. Let's be the church. Amen? Let's be the church. Let's get connected. Let's pray. Lord, as we prepare to approach Your table today, as we prepare to come in response to this word today, many today, their response is not to come to the table, but just to right in their seats, come to You. They're not ready to come to the table. They need to come to You first. And so is that you, my friend, in your seat right now? You can pray with me, dear Lord Jesus. You can pray right where you are. Just pray with me, dear Lord Jesus. I believe in You. I believe that You died on the cross and that You rose from the grave and that You live today. I believe that. Now come into me. Forgive me of my sins and make me the kind of person You want me to be. I confess it with my mouth that You are Savior and Lord, and I believe in my heart that God raised You from the dead. Come and save me. And that's your decision right now. It's a prayer that you can pray right now in your seat, asking Jesus to save you. Others are here, and you are a believer, but you've been holding back. And you're lonely, and you're not living out the purposes of God, and you're not growing, and you're in a dark place right now, some of you. Some of you just feel far from God today, but it doesn't have to be that way. Come to the table. This is the body of Christ which is broken for you. This is the blood of Christ which was shed for you. Come in communion, which is corporately together, and be the body. Confessing your sins, remembering who He is. We pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen.